Today, we want to look at a small book of the Bible that I'm willing to bet, if I was a betting man, that I bet 90% of you have never heard this book of the Bible preached. It's Paul's shortest letter that he wrote in the whole New Testament, called the book of Philemon, or the letter to Philemon. Not Philippians, that's a popular one, but Philemon. It comes between the book of Titus and the book of Hebrews. And the reason we're going to cover this letter is because it's kind of it's connected to Colossians, which we finished last Sunday. Philemon was a member of the church at Colossae. He was a Colossian believer. And Paul wrote him a letter, a private letter, but it's included. It's to Philemon and the house church that met in Philemon's house. And we're going to talk about this a little bit. I don't know why that nobody preaches through Philemon. I've been so blessed as I've studied through this book this week. It's just 25 verses, short little letter. But it's amazing in that it shows us what the lordship of Jesus looks like in everyday, real life, awkward, messy situations. You guys know that, you know, Jesus came and He inaugurated the kingdom of God, and people are being saved and His gospel is spreading all over the world. But His kingdom has not come in its fullness just yet. There's still brokenness in this world. Amen? There's still injustice. People don't get justice sometimes in this world. There's still racism and hatred of our brothers. There's sometimes the poor are stepped on. This world has sin in it. But Christ is coming to finish what He started, to consummate the full kingdom of God. And in that day, every tear from every eye of His people will be wiped away. And that is the day that we're looking for. Until then, we live in a broken world. Christians, you who are believers this morning, the lordship of Jesus over your life calls you to make some tough choices in a difficult world. You've got to figure out, together with your church family, praying and talking and thinking and seeking the Lord and looking in the Word, you've got to figure out what the lordship of Jesus looks like sometimes in some difficult situations. Imagine if you lived during the Roman Empire in the days of the Apostle Paul and the man of Philemon, when slavery was part of life. Now, I'm not talking about the slavery we think about in America, which was racial. In this time, in the first century, it was a financial situation. A lot of people sold themselves into slavery because it was their last option to take care of their family or to not starve to death. And so, the answer, when people became Christians, the answer was not always to free your slave. To our ears, that sounds horrible, and slavery is not good. But when you are a Christian living in that broken world, we saw in Colossians, Paul instructed slaves to submit to their masters as unto the Lord. And he instructed masters to treat their slaves with dignity and honor. In other words, that was a broken world, and they had to figure out what serving Jesus looked like in that. Can I give you another example? One commentator that I studied this week, he gave an example that I thought was helpful. Imagine you lived in a culture that was a polygamous culture. In other words, it was okay and expected and just part of life for men to have several wives. Now imagine the gospel came to that culture, and if you were a man who had several wives, say 8 wives, and suddenly you hear the gospel of Jesus and you get saved, you're converted to Christ and you're now living for Jesus, and as you study the Word, you understand that polygamy is wrong. That God intended marriage to be between one man and one woman as a picture of Jesus and the church. What do you do as a polygamist who just got saved? Do you divorce all of your wives except one Even if it condemns those wives that you divorce to a life of being social outcasts and living in poverty. And how do you choose which way? Living for Jesus in a broken world is messy. Christianity is not just something, it's not just a set of ideas that I say, yeah, I believe in Christianity. We got to get down in the dirt as we live in it. We got to roll up our sleeves and say, Jesus, what would it look like in my situation to serve Christ? Colossians said that Jesus is to be supreme, to be preeminent in all things. That's Colossians 1:18. What does that look like in messy situations, like in the first century of Rome, when Christians started getting saved and they had slaves? You know, to set some of your slaves free in that time, maybe in some situations that would have been an awesome thing to do. But in other situations, maybe those slaves would not have not be able to support themselves because they've done that as a last-ditch effort. What does it look like? Maybe you this morning are in the middle of a messy, awkward, real-life situation, and you're wondering what living for Jesus looks like in the thing you're going through. Philemon helps us walk through that. Now, before we read this letter, I want to just tell you the story. From the verses in Philemon, Bible scholars have kind of put the pieces of this story together. This message is called The Gospel in Real Life. In real life, the messy situations. We have pieces of a story in Philemon. Now, sit back with me for a second. Imagine in first century Rome. All right, let's look at this story together. First of all, there lived in, once upon a time, all right, in first century Rome, there lived a man named Philemon in the city of Colossae, which is in modern day Turkey. He was a wealthy man, a businessman. He was good with money. He had lots of possessions. Like most of the wealthy people in his culture, Philemon owned several slaves. One day, a preacher came into Colossae, a man named Epaphras. Epaphras had just heard the gospel of Jesus in the nearby city of Ephesus, where Paul the Apostle was preaching. Epaphras had been converted to Christ under Paul's preaching. And after he grew in the Lord, God called him to go back home to Colossae and plant a church. So Epaphras rode into town one day and began preaching on the streets and the marketplaces. Philemon, going to maybe a business lunch, walking in the marketplace, a wealthy businessman, he heard this Epaphras preaching the gospel, and something began to move in his heart. He heard how that God was a holy God, and that man had sinned against him, and God will judge the world, but that God loved the world and gave His Son, Jesus Christ. Philemon had heard about the man, Jesus, who was crucified in Jerusalem. And as Philemon listened to Epaphras share the gospel, how that Jesus was dying for our sins and rose from the dead, the Holy Spirit began to move in Philemon's heart. And he broke down on the spot. He confessed his sins to God, and he received Christ as his Lord and Savior. He believed the gospel. Well, something happened in Philemon that day. The Holy Spirit began to transform his life. Philemon found himself not in love with his money anymore. He began to meet with the church at Colossae. He began to use his money to help the church and the cause of Christ. Philemon even opened the doors of his big house. And the church began to meet in Philemon's house. Regularly, the believers in that day would pack themselves into Philemon's house, and they would sing songs of praise to the Lord, and they would have a time of prayer together, and they would hear the apostles' teaching proclaimed and taught to them, and they would break bread together and eat a meal. And so imagine with me Philemon, he's being transformed. He's becoming well known in the city as a man of love. Grace has transformed this businessman. And we meet another character in the story. Philemon, one of his slaves was named Onesimus. The name Onesimus means useful. It was a common name of slaves in the first century. Onesimus had not believed the gospel. He heard Philemon preach it. He heard the church proclaim the gospel. But Onesimus didn't care about this man named Jesus. He just wanted out of his slavery. Who can blame him? And so Onesimus began to plot to escape. Now, being a slave in the household of Philemon, he had access to Philemon's money. And one day Onesimus saw an opportunity to steal some of his master's money and make a break for it. That's just what he did. Onesimus got some, he stole what he could, he left town. Now, this was a great crime in this day under Roman law. Slaves who ran away from their masters could be beaten, killed, or even crucified. And so Onesimus was taking a big risk, but he saw the opportunity and he took it. He said, I'm going to hide out in the biggest city of the empire. I'm going to go to the capital. I'm going to go to Rome. And so Onesimus traveled to Rome. He's hiding out in the big city of Rome. He saw the Colosseum. He saw the things that we see today in ruins. And while Onesimus was hiding out in Rome, he heard about a famous prisoner who was under house arrest in Rome, just down the street. It's our third character in the story. It's the Apostle Paul. He heard about Paul the Apostle being chained to Roman guards for the gospel, but he had the freedom to receive visitors and to teach. Paul was under house arrest in Rome. And so Onesimus, he said, I've heard that name before. Philemon, my master, used to talk about Paul. And the church that met in his house used to talk about Paul all the time. I want to meet this guy. Onesimus, full of curiosity, he tracked Paul down. Are you with me still? He came into the house where Paul was teaching, a large room. There were lots of people packed in it, hearing the gospel, hearing Paul teach about the kingdom of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. As Onesimus began to hear the gospel, something happened in his heart that had never happened before. He began to come face to face with the fact that he was a sinner before a holy God. The Holy Spirit began to prick his heart. And Onesimus found himself joyfully believing this gospel that Paul was teaching. After the meeting was over and people began to leave, Onesimus said, I want to meet this man. And he came and he sat with Paul. And he said, I'm interested in what you're talking about. Tell me more about Jesus. And Paul began to disciple Onesimus. He became a believer. Onesimus began to love Jesus so much that he started to serve Paul. The same way he used to serve his master back home. He began to serve Paul while he was in chains. He would help Paul eat. He would get him things and run errands for him in the city. And Onesimus was happy. He was serving his Lord. He found a ministry of his own with the Apostle Paul. Paul began to love Onesimus. He became attached to him. But one day Onesimus came in the house and Paul said, Onesimus, come here. We need to talk. Onesimus, you have found joy in a heavenly master, the Lord Jesus. But under the law of Rome, you still have an earthly master back home, Philemon. Onesimus, if you're a follower of Jesus, you need to do what's right. You need to return home to your master, Philemon. That's what the law says. And we who follow Christ must do what is right. Onesimus bowed his head and said, Paul, I know you're right. But what will Philemon do to me when I come home? I stole from him. I broke the law. He has the power to have me beaten. He has the power to have me crucified, Paul. Paul said, I know, Onesimus. But we're going to leave those consequences to the Lord Jesus. We're going to pray. And we're going to send you back home because God expects us to serve our Lord Jesus and do what is right. But I'm going to do something for you, Onesimus. I'm going to write you a letter to take with you, a letter that is appealing to your master Philemon. I'm going to tell him of the conversion that has happened. I'm going to appeal to him to treat you as a brother and not just as a slave. Onesimus said, thank you, Paul. But no one has ever heard of a master welcoming a slave as a brother. Paul put his arm around him and said,
But isn't that just what Christ has done for us? We were slaves of sin. He came and poured out grace and welcomed us as brothers. God is able to move in the heart of your master. But you know what? Even if your master punishes you, whatever the consequences are, we must do what is right. Here's my friend Tychicus. He serves with me. You know Tychicus. He's going back through Ephesus and Colossae. He's delivering letters that I've written to those churches, to the Colossians, to the Ephesians. Onesimus, in the morning, you're going to travel with Tychicus on a long journey back home to do what is right. Paul that night wrote a letter to Philemon. He rolled up the scroll and sealed it and gave it to Onesimus. Onesimus, after breakfast, Tychicus and he left with their scrolls in their bags and they made the long journey back home. Tychicus was carrying books of the Bible that you have in your Bibles this morning. Onesimus was nervously patting the little scroll in his bag, wondering what would happen when he got back home. Not knowing that this letter he had in his bag would also one day be contained in our Bible as the inspired Word of God. He got back home to Colossae and he came into the house of Philemon, his master, and he bowed down and held out the scroll. And Philemon took the scroll. Surprise! His anger started to get worked up, being reminded of what this man had done to him according to the law. He popped the scroll of Paul and he began to read this letter. And as he read, the Holy Spirit began to soften his heart and draw him to be changed by the grace of God. And now Philemon has to do what's right. The grace of God transforms hearts and lives, but it leads us to do what's right in uncomfortable situations. Isn't that an amazing story? What happens next? I don't know. Legend of the church legend says that Philemon, you know, obeyed and received. But we don't know if he set Onesimus free, or if he just treated him as a brother, or if he sent him back to serve with Paul in the gospel. That is the story, and it may not have happened with all those details, but scholars believe it was something like that. If you would, open your Bibles to the book of Philemon. I have it here on the screen. Let's read this letter in two parts. First, let's introduce Philemon. Let's read the first 7 verses together. The Bible says, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Apphia, our sister, that could have been his wife or a worker in the church, and Archippus, our fellow soldier. Some people think this was Philemon's son, Archippus, or a minister in the church. The book of Colossians ends Colossians 4:17, Paul wrote a letter to the church of Colossae and he mentioned Archippus. He said, say to Archippus, see that you complete the work of ministry God has given you. So Archippus was a minister of some sort. So Paul to Philemon and Apphia and Archippus and to the church in your house. So this is a private situation, but it's open to the church. Hang on to that idea. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers because I hear of your love. Here's how we know what Philemon was like. I hear of your love and the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus for all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith, that word means the partnership in the faith, the koinonia, of the faith. The faith that you share with the other believers may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. That is the man Philemon. That is the power of grace of God that can transform a money-minded businessman to a servant of God who opens his home to the church and uses his money no longer for profit, but to refresh the hearts of the saints. See this morning first that the grace of God changed Philemon.
We're going to see that the grace changed everyone in this whole story. See that the grace of God took a wealthy businessman, cut him to his knees, and humbled him, and made him so that money was not his God anymore. But Philemon was in love with Jesus, and being in love with Jesus means being in love with his people, the church. You cannot serve God and not connect yourself to Jesus' body, the church. It is the will of God not to be a lone ranger believer doing your own thing. It's the will of God to walk out this faith with brothers and sisters. We see that because Paul greeted Philemon and Apphia and Archippus, but he also said, and the church that meets in your house. One scholar says this shows the connectedness that we as believers share. Even our private matters of life affect the church. You know that God has given us a church family to hold us accountable when we start to walk in a wrong direction. But God has also blessed us with a church family so that we have brothers and sisters who can help us live for Jesus in awkward situations. Philemon is about to be presented with a big decision of what's he going to do with Onesimus. And Paul wants him to figure that out with the church family. Brothers and sisters, do you include your church family in the decisions that you have? You say, it's none of their business. Well, some things may not be. But as God calls us to walk out our faith together, you need a few brothers that you can bear your soul, confess your sins to. Not in a way that we beat each other up, but that we help each other walk for Jesus. You need the church, and the church needs you. We need each other. This is one of the things we learn about Philemon. That Paul has this delicate private matter, and he says, you know what, Philemon? You need to figure this out with your church family. I think that's beautiful. I want to encourage you to tear down your privacy fence around your heart. Some of you got a 6-foot fence. Some of you got a 10-foot fence. Some of you built a cinder block wall around that thing. You've been hurt. I understand. The church is not perfect yet, but we will be. And until that day comes, we walk out our faith with imperfect people. And when they hurt us, we forgive. And we receive grace for healing. Amen? That's difficult, isn't it? But that's the will of God. We see that in this book. Then we see that Paul gives praise to Philemon for his transformed life. He has become a man of love and a man of faith. Man, he says, the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. You know, when God's grace transforms a heart, there's a couple of areas where people can see the transformation. They'll see it in the way we spend our money, and they'll see it in the way we spend our time. Those are the measures of what's important to us. If you want to know who your God is, look at your calendar and your checkbook. That will show you who you're serving. That will show, because what you do with your leisure time, when you can choose anything, that shows you what drives you. That shows you what you love. And so if we look and we see that we're walking with God joyfully with His people, and we're no longer living for greed and money and stuff, that's a good piece of fruit that shows that we've had a heart transformation. Paul said that the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by Philemon. Can I ask us a question this morning? I include myself. I'm preaching to me. I'll step on my toes too. Whose hearts have you refreshed lately? Have we been transformed like Philemon so that we are now living to refresh the hearts of God's saints? Could they say that when they gather around my casket? The hearts of the saints were refreshed through Him. Could they say that about you? Are you living to refresh the hearts of the saints? You know, we could kind of stop right there, couldn't we? That'll preach. But we're going to move on. Let's read the rest of the letter. Verses 8 through 25. Paul's going to give his appeal. Paul says, accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you. I, Paul, an old man, and now a prisoner also for Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. That means He was converted under my preaching. He's telling Philemon that your slave has become a follower of Jesus Christ. Verse 11. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. That is a pun. That is a play on words on Onesimus' name. The name Onesimus means useful. And Paul said he used to be useless to you, but now the grace of God has transformed Onesimus and he is useful to you and to me. Verse 12. I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. You hear Paul? The love he has for this man, Onesimus. I'm sending him back to you. I'm sending my very heart to you, Philemon. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I prefer to do nothing without your consent. You see, Paul wants to do what's right also. In order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own accord. For this, perhaps, it's why he was parted from you for a while. In other words, maybe this is why God let this happen to you, Philemon. So that you might have him back forever. No longer as a slave, a bondservant, but more than a bondservant. A beloved brother. Especially to me, but how much more to you? Both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, Philemon, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all, or owes you anything, and Paul knew he did, charge that to my account. You see the grace of God in Paul now. If he's stolen anything from you, charge it to my bill, Philemon. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it. To say nothing of your owing me even your own self. By the way, I'm not even going to mention this, but you owe me. You were converted under the gospel through Epaphras who heard it from me. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. You, Philemon, you've refreshed the heart of your house church. Now is your opportunity to refresh this old man in prison, the Apostle Paul. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. At the same time, prepare a guest room for me. I'm coming to see how this turns out. For I'm hoping that through your prayers, I will be graciously given to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ, sends greetings to you. So do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. And that is the book of Philemon. Let's point out a few things here, and we'll bring this to a time of wondering what we need to do in response to God's word. First, Paul gives an appeal, not a command. He said, I'm bold enough, I'm an apostle, I could command you, Philemon, to do what's right, but I want you to choose to do it. I don't want you to be forced to do this good deed in treating Onesimus not as a slave, but as a brother. I want you to do it because God has worked in your heart. I want you to do it because God's grace has prepared you to do it. So I'm not going to command you. You see, Paul, he's trusting that God is able to work in another person's heart. So he gives an appeal. Now this is a difficult, messy situation, and he needs the counsel of his church family. And that's what Paul tells him to figure out. Ephesians 5:17 says to be wise and to know what the will of the Lord is. There's some situations where we've got to get with our church family and say, guys, I don't know what Jesus would have me do in this situation. Help me out. Let's figure out what the will of God is together. And then Paul says, consider God's purpose. You remember in verse 15 and 16, if you have it there in your Bible, he says, maybe this is why God let Onesimus steal from you and run away from you. Because God was going to use that to save Onesimus, to change him, and to give you back not a slave, but a brother. When bad things happen to you, consider God's purpose in it. When somebody hurts you, when someone steals from you, when someone walks out on you, consider God's purpose. Don't just look at the circumstances. Don't immediately go to feeling sorry for yourself. God allows bad things to happen. But God is not cruel. God has a reason. And it calls for trust. We're either going to trust God or we're not. Amen? You heard the little cliche, the same sun, right, that melts butter hardens a brick. The same difficult situation some people go through makes their heart bitter against God. Why did you let this happen to me? But that same situation, other people won't get bitter at God. They'll draw close to God. They'll say, God, I don't know why you allowed this to happen, but I need your grace to get through it. Here I am. Give me strength, Lord. Amen? Which are you going to be? I may be talking to some butter hearts this morning. Maybe some brick hearts. Maybe you've already hardened against God. And the Lord maybe brought you here this morning to soften that heart with grace. God lets things happen in this broken world, but the day is coming when all wrongs will be fixed. The day is coming for those who believe in Christ, where Jesus will wipe away every tear. We will get new bodies that don't get sick, bodies that are glorified, so that we can stand the glorious presence of God and enjoy Him forever. Till that day, there's suffering. Till that day, people are going to be mean to you in this life. But what's God's purpose in it? Consider God's purpose. Then Paul says your slave is now your brother. Guys, we looked at how God's grace transformed Philemon into a money-minded businessman to a church-minded servant who refreshes the heart of the church. The second character in the story is Onesimus. God's grace transformed him too. From a slave who was not a believer, who was running for his life, to a man humbled by the grace of God, who could forgive even me. A man who stole from my master and committed a crime worthy in this law of crucifixion. And yet, God has forgiven me. And the grace transformed Onesimus so much that he was willing to go back to his master and say, here I am, do to me what you think is right. I will accept whatever consequences you give me because I was wrong and the Lord Jesus leads me to do what's right. Are you a Christian but you never do what's right? That's an oxymoron. It doesn't happen. The grace of God leads us to obedience. And we see Philemon transformed from a slave to a brother. This is just what Paul had taught in Colossians that we just finished. In chapter 3 of Colossians, verse 11, Paul said, here in the church, here in Christ, it's not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in you all. In other words, the grace of God destroys ethnic boundaries so that we could say in our modern culture this morning, in Christ, in the church, there's not black and white, Hispanic, Latin, Asian. It's people saved by the grace of God, unified by the Lord. Amen? It's not rich and poor. It doesn't matter if you're a rich Christian or whoever puts the most in this offering plate gets special treatment. No, sir. Equal under the grace of God. Amen? Doesn't matter your level of education. We come to the table around the cross. We share together. And so Philemon has got a lot to think about. Paul is telling him a truth that was a bombshell in his heart. Your slave is now your brother. What are you going to do? In the church today, we get faced with this bombshell. You know, the people you used to hate, Jesus calls you now to love. Amen? Can you receive that? Can you think on that? The people that you used to insult, Christ now wants you to refresh. What about my enemies? Yeah, He said love your enemies too. This is the Lordship of Jesus in messy situations. Your slave is now your brother. Now, listen, I mentioned earlier that slavery in this time, sometimes you can study, all biblical commentators point out that it wasn't always the best thing for a slave to be set free. Sometimes it was a financial curse just to set them free. But Philemon's got to do something to show his love. Now, I take from this, Paul could have just said, all masters, release all your slaves. But in that system, that would have been economic collapse and it would have been hardship and poverty for people. God doesn't always use the political process to change the world. Hear me now. Our Savior is not going to be Hillary or Trump. Our hope is in Christ. And what Christ does, He sends us out not to just make laws. You can't legislate the sin out of people's hearts. Now, voting is good. Be a good citizen. You know, some Christians God calls to serve in the political process. And if we can make some good laws to help people, amen. But God's way is through changing one heart at a time through the gospel. Amen? You see what Paul's doing here? He's not writing a letter to Emperor Nero saying, you got to get rid of slavery. Instead, in real life, Paul is writing to a slaveholder and telling him a truth. Your slave is now your brother. That will eventually bring slavery to its knees one person at a time. That's the way the gospel works. And so when we deal with things like abortion and terrible, tricky circumstances and political things, I mean, do what we can with politics, but God's role, God's way is transforming people's hearts by the gospel. Whatever your church situation is, God brings you a person going through something, minister grace to that person. That's changing the world one person at a time. Amen? So social justice has its place, but the church of Jesus Christ is to be about the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Jesus, which tells people, which speaks into a messy situation, your slave is now your brother. Figure out what to do with that. Then Paul takes it even down further. He said, receive him as you would receive me. What a request. You see what Paul is requesting Philemon to do? This would require forgiveness out of Philemon. He's asking a lot. This would require to work through messy situations for Philemon. It would require love and reconciliation and awkward social decisions. Whatever Philemon does, he's got to obey the Lord Jesus with this brother who used to be a slave now kneeling before him. What if Philemon doesn't set Onesimus free? What if you're Onesimus and Philemon said, I love you as a brother, but I don't think setting you free is the best thing right now. Then Philemon is called to walk through a pretty hard situation for the glory of Jesus. When we become Christians, God doesn't automatically change our circumstances, does He? When we give our hearts to Jesus, when we're transformed by grace, God doesn't always give you a better marriage. God doesn't always heal the sickness that you're fighting with. God doesn't always take away your desires to sin. What does He do? He gives you grace day by day to walk out the Lordship of Jesus with joy in terrible circumstances sometimes. God sometimes does change the circumstances. Marriages can get better. Amen? God is able to work in that situation. God sometimes heals the sick. Amen? God sometimes takes the temptations that cripple us to where we're not even tempted to do that anymore. But if He does or if He doesn't, our job is to walk out our faith with joy and lean on God for strength. If God calls a slave to be saved, whether he's set free or whether he's not, he's got to walk that out. I don't know if you're in a terrible circumstance and you say, why hasn't God changed my circumstance? I don't know. Keep praying. He might change it. But if he doesn't, he's up to something good. Trust him. Trust him. The fifth thing we see here is that Paul volunteers to pay Onesimus' debt. This is the grace of God. We've seen the grace of God transform Philemon from a businessman to a man in the church refreshing people's hearts. We've seen Onesimus, the slave, transformed to a brother who's willing to come back to his master and submit to whatever the consequences. But here is a third character in the story, Paul, the apostle. Grace transformed Paul too. Paul is willing to pay Onesimus' bill. Church, do you see God's grace there? God, when He comes in and transforms us, He makes us a generous people.
He calls us to be mediators between Christians who have disagreements. In the church, God can use us to bring Christians back together. That's what Paul is doing. Now let me ask you a question. Do you see the gospel picture there? Paul is a living and breathing picture of Jesus. Right? He said, I will pay what this man owes. This man was a slave with no income. He could never pay his debt. Paul says, I will pay the debt that he cannot repay. That is what God has done for us in Christ. Amen? We were slaves of sin. Unable to pay our debt to a holy God. And like Paul, Jesus came down from God and said, I will pay for their debt. I will pay for their sins at the cross. Guys, here in Philemon, we see the grace of God, which shows us Jesus and the gospel. And finally, we see costly obedience. Everyone in this story had to do what was right, even though it would hurt them. Did you see it? How does Philemon have to do what's right? Well, he has to love his brother. His slave is now his brother. He's got to figure out what's right to do in that situation. How did Onesimus do what's right? He came back to his master because that was the law. Even though the consequences might be bad, he did what was right. How did Paul do what was right? Paul wrote a letter for his friend. Right? And Paul appealed for him. And Paul offered to pay the charge. Titus 2, 11 and 12 says that the grace of God has appeared, but it brings us to obedience. The grace of God leads us to obedience. If you say, I'm a Christian, and I've received God's grace, but you are giving yourself to things that aren't right. I don't know, cheating on your taxes, under the table business deals, looking down on the poor. If you're doing these things, these are evidences that may prove that you're not really born again. God's grace transforms us and leads us to do what's right, even if it hurts us. You know, sometimes to tell the truth will hurt us. That's a tough lesson to teach my kids. Any of you parents you're teaching your kids, you know what? If I ask you who wrote on the wall with a magic marker and you did it, just tell me you did it. It's going to go a lot better for you than if you lied to me about it. Right? But telling the truth sometimes gets you a spanking. Telling the truth sometimes puts us in a terrible situation. What does Jesus want us to do? Living out our faith in a broken world. Well, there's a lot we could say and a lot more time we could spend, but I think God has spoken to us, and I want to call us to two things this morning. We got to respond to God's Word. You can't just hear God's Word preached and go home. God won't allow you to make that choice. You can either be changed by what you've heard, or you can harden yourself against what you've heard. I want to point to two responses. Number one, receive God's grace. None of us deserve grace. This whole letter in our Bible is dripping with the grace of God for sinners. As I said, we were slaves like Onesimus, slaves to sin. Jesus said in John 8, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. So where are we in this story? We are the slave. We are the one who broke the law of God. We are the one under sin. And God was gracious to us while we were in our sins. Romans 5:8 says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You may feel like this morning that God could never love you. God has already shown His love by sending His Son to die on the cross in your place. Amen? Greater love has no man than this, than he would lay down his life for his friends. Look at the grace of God. The amazing grace of God in Christ. While we were slaves of sin, we weren't looking for God. We loved our sin. But God came looking for us. And in His grace, He breaks our chains
and makes us brothers and no longer slaves. Have you received the grace of God? You know, you can receive that by faith right now. You don't have to come walk this aisle in a minute and shake my hand or pray a prayer after me. That'll do you no good. But who you need to deal with is the Lord God who created you, the one you've sinned against and lived in rebellion against. You have business with Him. Right where you are. Here in a moment, we're going to sing a song. We'll have an opportunity to think and pray about this. I encourage you, receive the grace of God. Just yield. Just fall into it. Quit fighting Him. Has He backed you into a corner? You got nowhere to go? Receive His grace. He died for sinners. And He rose again to give us life. Christian, maybe you're already saved. You need to receive His grace again today. Reminded from the letter to Philemon that God loves you. Maybe you've had a terrible week. You need to be reminded today, God is gracious towards you. Hey, He who did not spare His only Son, but freely gave Him up, how will He not with His Son freely give us all things? God is not holding back. And so what's the second response? We receive God's grace, but we also are called to give God's grace, to extend grace to others, to treat others the way God has treated us. We owe people the debt of love, Romans 13 teaches us. We owe it to forgive. Jesus said, forgive when they come. Peter said, how many times? 7 times 7? No, 70 times 70. It's not a numerical thing. Keep on forgiving. Keep on showing grace. That's not always easy, but that is what God calls us to do. So this morning, God has us here for a reason. Maybe you're here to receive grace. Maybe some of us are called. The Holy Spirit's telling us right now that there's a situation we're going through where we have to offer grace. We have to treat someone as a brother that we don't like, maybe. Or we have to, you know, navigate through a terrible situation with the wisdom of our church family. Receive grace and give grace. Let's pray together. Let's ask the Lord to come and move in our hearts. This grace is only ours in Christ. Father, we're thankful for the Word of God that transforms our hearts. We're thankful for the grace of God that has been freely poured out for us in Christ. What a story Philemon and Onesimus and Paul. What a word to us today, God, that helps us to know that You want us to figure out how to walk under the Lordship of Jesus, that Jesus would be supreme and preeminent. Even in the tough situations, confusing situations. God, we thank You that You give grace. Help us to receive it right now. Though we were sinners, hardened against You, in rebellion against You, slaves of our sin, You gave Your Son. You gave Jesus Christ to the death of the cross for us. Thank You, Lord. Help us to receive. Help us to turn from our sin and believe this gospel that Christ loves us, that Christ gave Himself up for us. Father, help us to offer grace to others. I know there must be some here today in difficult situations. Maybe they've been hurt and You are calling them to show grace to someone. Treat others the way You have treated us. Will You give us the grace to show grace? Give us the ability to love, to forgive, to be patient, to be reconciled. Help us to do what's right because You have received and accepted us. Lord, show us specific situations in our lives this morning of what doing what's right looks like. Lord, we worship You. We love You. Come and speak to us in Christ's name.